Hi, Alice.
I'm doing great. How about you?
Welcome to the Motor City.
Thank you. Is it cold back there?
It is. 9 degrees today. We're all excited because we're going to get close to 50 on Sunday. It's like spring. We're busting out shorts and already starting to grill.
Oh, my gosh. It's 80 degrees here in Phoenix.
See, why? Why would you tell me that? There's no reason for that. There's no reason for that.
I want you to suffer.
Is that what it is?
Well, yes.
I've already, Alice, I've been through enough pain when you got rid of your Mustang at Barrett Jackson, the 65. That bothered me when you sold that car.
No, I've got another one. I've got a 65 Hertz Shelby 350.
Seriously? I didn't
know
this.
The black ones?
Yeah.
The black ones with the gold stripe? Yeah.
How many cars do you think are bouncing around the country that people are selling because and they just use that hook that Alice Cooper wants to own this car?
Well, I'm there's probably a lot of them because I probably sold 20 of them myself. You know, that Detroit part of me has never gone away. The DNA, you know, muscle car stuff. In fact, I'm driving a 815 horsepower Hellcat right now. So, you know, I take a little Detroit with me every place I go.
See, we love it. Now, for people that don't know, Alice, one year when we did a Stone Soup car, you came to the radio station, actually, with our GTO, the silver one, 603 horsepower.
That's right, yeah.
And we said, okay, take it easy, Alice. We just got this car. We need to break it in slowly. And you took off like a bat out of hell. You were like, yep, yeah, that's going to happen. Went flying down the street.
Yeah. Who got that car? That was a great car.
Oh, it was a local person won at the Warfields, and they won, I think at the last count, it was over 200 awards for that car.
Wow, that was a really good car.
Yeah.
Somebody did really a good job on that car.
It's Detroit. It's what we do, man. And then, of course, you're going to be here out of Pine Knob. I know we're officially supposed to say DT, but come on, it's Pine Knob.
Pine Knob is like, you know, that's sort of the place that we played a lot of times there. But we've got, you know, Hailstorm, you know, Lizzie's a good buddy of ours. And she actually sang with us with the Vampires, with the Hollywood Vampires in Rio, Rockin' Rio. She did a whole lot of love with us. And, you know, if I had a chance to get her on the tour, I immediately jumped on it because I really like their band. Good band.
We do, too.
And Motionless and White, too. Yeah.
She's amazing. I hope more people understand how talented she is. And that, I remember when you guys actually did that with the Vampires, Alice, that we ran that.
Yeah, that was really, and you know, the cool thing is there's now emerging a lot of really good guitar players, female guitar players. I've got, you know, I've got Nita Strauss in my band who just won Best Female Guitarist in Guitar Magazine. And, so she's going to be there, and then Lizzie's going to be there, and Lizzie's a great player. So, I mean, it's kind of really cool to see women playing. I mean, they play like guys. They play the guitar way down low, and, you know, it's really cool to see.
Do you think that bothered some people, like with Hart, especially like with Nancy being such a great guitar player, getting out there, that maybe they were threatening the guys?
No, not at all. Now, you know, the guys in my band were absolutely, they said, hey, you care about how she plays. So when I brought her in and we had the first rehearsal, they just looked at each other and went, oh, okay. I mean, you know, she looks like a Victoria's Secret model and she plays like Steve Vai. So that's a pretty good combination.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. We were trying to figure out if school's out, the song School's Out, Alice, works if someone's homeschooling. Can we still play that for them?
Oh, absolutely.
You should you should update the lyrics.
School's Out is the national anthem. You know, I'm the Francis Scott Key of either May or June every year. Because that song just relates to every single kid.
In the
it
world.
It doesn't matter if it was 1972 or 2040. You know, people are going to still relate to that song.
So other than the United States, where have you heard School's Out?
Oh, are you kidding? That was an international hit.
It still is.
That was everywhere. That one and Poison were the two songs that were like international monsters. It was actually number one in England before it was number one in Phoenix, in Arizona, or in any place in the United States.
Didn't know that. Yeah, well, it is one of those anthems, obviously, in the Motor City, like where else we play it. You know, it's funny, Alice, I was going back and I was looking up all the Pine Knob dates and the shows here in Detroit and the East Town and everything else, and you start going through this list, and then all of a sudden I'm going through the concert database, and it shows me the Whiskey Go-Go. You opened for Zeppelin. I apologize for not knowing that.
Yeah, we opened for Zeppelin the first night. They opened for us the next night. it was like a co-headlining tour, and we had no idea who they were. And it was sort of like we walked up and we saw Alice Cooper and Led Zeppelin, and we kind of went, "Who's Led Zeppelin?" You know, because as soon as they walked in, I looked at, I looked at Jimmy Page, and I went, "Okay, that guy was in the Yardbirds," and that to me was everything, you know. So I said, "We'll open for you," and then he said, "Okay, yeah, but tomorrow night we'll open for you." Now the very next night, we headlined another club out in Santa Monica, and it said Alice Cooper and I said some guy named Pink Floyd.
So come on, Alice. Is there anyone in your career? You have some of the greatest photos ever. I mean, like, we always see you with these great pictures with Bowie and obviously with the Hollywood Vampires then and now. And hang out. Is there somebody you never got a photo with?
You know, I can't think of any. You know, I don't have any with George Harrison. I have one with all the other Beatles, a lot of them with all the other guys, with Ringo and, you know, and John and Paul. I don't think I have one picture with George. But he was a little bit more of a reclusive. He didn't really go out. You know, I mean, we went to Max's Kansas City a couple of times in New York City, but I don't think anybody ever got a picture of that.
But you hung with them, but you just never got a photo with you and George.
Yeah, there was all this, you know, any other time I've got a bunch of photos with me and John because we drank a lot, you know, and Paul, you know, sang on the last Vampire album. And Ringo and I did a couple, you know, we did a movie together. We did a bunch of stuff together. He was a vampire also. So, but George was never in that clique. He just kind of like, he had his own little clique going on.
So what is your take as an artist? And Alice Cooper with us, Pine Knob DTE, July 20th with Hailstorm. Tickets go on sale Friday. It's going to sell out. It's you here in Detroit on a Saturday night. It's perfect, Alice. It is a perfect summer concert.
Well, it's a brand. It's a whole new show.
Oh, good.
You know, we did the last show maybe about 200 times around the world, and we decided, okay, time for a new show. So it's all new production. You know, of course, we're going to do the hits. We always do the hits. But, you know, the theatrics are going to be entirely different this time. So anybody that saw the show a year ago or 2 years ago, this will not be the same show.
Speaking of, I was going to ask you about what you, I mean, and one of the photos I found, just going back to the photos, was some great pictures of you and Freddie Mercury, just laughing your ass off.
Yeah.
What was your take on Bohemian Rhapsody as an artist?
Freddie was great, but Freddie didn't spend as much time with me as he did with my wife. Now, my wife was a ballerina, and she was a ballerina, and she was a classical vocalist also. So all Freddie wanted to talk about was opera and ballet. So he didn't really speak to me on that. He would spend an hour with Cheryl talking about ballet, and you know. So that was just a funny thing about it. Now I knew, you know, Brian May, you know, and all the other guys. We hung out, but Freddie was, you know, a cool guy, but he was much more interested in ballet and opera.
Well, that's always, Jeremy Clarkson tells a story that when he came here to the Rattlesnake Club to interview Seeger wanted to talk about cars and Jeremy wanted to talk about music and nothing got done.
I just saw Seeger here in Phoenix and the band was great. He had a huge band. He had, you know, he had a horn section. He had a regular rock band with him. He had a choir and he sounded great, man. He killed the place. I'm proud to see a Detroit boy up there doing it.
So what Seeger song would you cover, Alice Cooper?
You know, there was a lot. Night Moves was pretty good, but I think Get Out of Denver.
Oh, now then we flip the
Get
flip
Out of it. Denver is what? Oh, that song just rocks.
So, what Alice Cooper song would you like to hear him do?
Oh man, he could do just about any of them, but I think that he would do one of the mid range ballads pretty well. You know, I'd love to hear him do like I Never Cry. Or You and Me, something like that.
Thank you. You and Me was the one I thought immediately. I was like, that was doing the same thing in my head. That was like, that would be the one.
Yeah, he would do it I think he'd do it a little bit more street, you know.
Do you think, and with all the rock documentaries coming out stuff, and I know there's one in the works about your buddy Keith Moon from the Vampires, I've always thought, and before Johnny even joined you, I always thought Johnny Depp could play you.
You know, if he was better looking, yeah.
One can only hope, right?
I told him that. I said, you know, if they ever do one on me, Johnny, you know, you just have to get some plastic surgery and get a little better looking. And he says, well, first I have to get my nose broken. And I say, yeah, don't go to that. Don't go to that extent, okay?
So can you help me with something? We always talk about the house where you had your rehearsals here in Detroit, the crazy house where you guys would work out. And there was this, there's all these stories about, first of all, I'm trying to figure out, where were you? Because didn't you guys go and like rehearse for the, at some place that was for the criminally insane? You guys had
it was in Pontiac. It was actually in Pontiac out by, and it was on Brown Road, and it was a farm, but we had a huge barn in the back, and that's where we actually recorded Love It to Death. Was back there. That's where we wrote 18. That's where we, you know, Bob Ezrin came and lived with us, and we did everything. But the only thing around us, maybe a half a mile away, was a mental institution. So when we would rehearse, they would hear everything, all the mistakes, all the good parts, all the bad parts, and everything. And you know, so I would imagine that we had something to do with their mental health.
And then what was the deal with a raccoon? You guys, was it a pet raccoon or a raccoon that just wanted to hang around the barn?
We had a pet raccoon, which are the nastiest animals in the world. They would actually take a crap, and then they would ball it up and throw it at you. Because it was like tar. It was like black tar. And but that house was great. You know, back in those days, we would play the Grandy or the East Town with Iggy and the MC5 and the Who. And then every weekend, the party would be at a different band's house. Like one week it would be at the MC5's, and the next week it would be at our place. The next week it would be at Amboy Duke's. You know, there was always a party that one of the bands hosted after the show. And that was kind of a tradition. It was kind of an interesting tradition in Detroit.
Yeah, but you were the only one that had a crap-throwing raccoon.
Yeah. But we didn't bring him to the party.
You didn't bring him with you? What happened to that raccoon, I wonder? Did it just leave eventually?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
I mean, those days were days when we were working 10, 12 hours a day. Bob Ezrin would work us really hard because we were relearning how to do everything. And if you listen to the difference between, say, like Pretty's for You and Easy Action and then Love It to Death, it was two different bands. I kind of look at Love It to Death as being the first real Alice Cooper album, because the other two albums were written when we were the Spiders and when we were the Nas. So those songs were kind of overlaid songs from that period. So Love It to Death was really the first time that it was a real Alice Cooper album.
Huh. I never thought of it that way. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So let me see Alice Cooper one more time. Playing a Pine Knob, July 20th with Hailstorm. You got to see Lizzie. Hailstorm is just unbelievable, man. It's going to be great. You know, Bob's doing four shows so far at Pine Knob that we know of.
Yeah, I mean, this tour goes on for, we start in June, I think, and we don't finish till December.
Wow.
Last year we did 193 cities at 17 countries, you know, four continents. And then when I would get off that tour, I would go right on the tour with the Vampires. So I would leave, you know, we might finish in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and be on my flight the next day to Moscow to start with the Vampires. When the Vampires tour was over, I would go right back out and meet the regular band, and then we would finish the Alice Cooper tour. So, you know, you got to be in shape.
And you sound just in great spirits. Sounds like you are just having a good time.
Well, you know, this is the only thing I've ever done for 55 years, and I've never gotten tired of it. I think it keeps me in shape. And it's, you know, I mean, how much fun can you have to be in the Alice Cooper show? It's not exactly... It's something that you can't believe people are paying you to do.
You do well. Let me see if I can get my hands on a Shelby 500 when you're in town, one of the new ones.
Yeah. You'd like it.
Okay. I'll bring that. And then, of course, our idea, last thing is, Alice, we're talking about, we were actually kicking around the idea of Alice Cooper Court, like a street for you here in the Motor City. But we figured the best place to do it would be at Eloise, the old insane asylum over on the east side.
Oh, yeah. Or any White Castle.
You've narrowed it down for us. Wait a minute. White Castle was your go-to?
Oh, I grew up on White Castles. 12 for a dollar. You know, a staple diet in Arizona. I mean, in Detroit was White Castles, Werner's Ginger Ale, or Stroh's Beer. And that was the, you know, that was sort of like if you were in a band, you could feed a whole band for $2.
Well, that's why the raccoon was throwing crap at you, because your fart smelled horrible.
Well, you know, they're just going to open a White Castle in Phoenix. Can you believe that?
You're kidding me.
I am elated.
Okay, so Alice Cooper's going to White Castle. All right, so we'll bring White Castle to the show. So if we bring White Castle, you'll be happy. Okay, deal. We can do that.
A crave box. Bring me one of those craving boxes.
Dude, I live a mile up the road. Don't dare me. I'll be there.
I am dead serious.
Okay, done. It's a done deal. I'll talk to Dave Clark at Live Nation, and we'll be backstage. We'll bring you a crave box. Cheese or no cheese?
All right, got it.
All right. Thanks, Alice. We'll see you here, man, on July 20th.
Hey, man, thanks. I'll see you when we get in town, all right?
Okay, all the best, sir.